Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's be real about this. At least 2 weeks, if not longer, he's gone to the podium and purposely made comments about the media's negativity. Mm-hmm. Like purposely, at any point in time, he could have just ignored it, like everybody else in the league does, right? And he has purposely made it a point to take shots at certain people making, you know, I think it was since the Joe Mixon stuff.
It started with that.
Yeah. Like, he's gone in there and purposely every week talked about people writing stories that are negative and writing this. You're looking for the hot take. You're looking for this. And he's been soft shoe. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, somebody pushes back a little bit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, whoa, wait, what, y'all good?
And yeah. he probably wasn't prepared that they was going to push back on that.
But it's so weak. It's the bully that constantly bullies, and then when somebody punches them back, runs to the corner. Yeah. It's the person that constantly brings something up, and then when somebody wants to have a conversation about it, oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Y'all look, let's good. Be honest. I've done it to women in my life. I've done it to women in my life. Yeah,
hey, you got a little gaslight
to you. Create a problem, gaslight the hell out. The minute they bring it up, what the hell are you talking about? I just went to my buddy's house. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Knowing damn good and well there were three different trips I went and did, you know. I mean, that's the part is like this isn't a – typically, I'm not a big fan of the media bully, the guy that gets in the media and wants to ask all these difficult questions and put the coach in a bad spot and all that. I'm typically not a fan of that. This is not that. This is like,
hey, wait a minute. 2 years of being, like I said, God's gift.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not wrong. But this is a guy that's going to go out there and specifically talk to all you people and talk about, hey, man, yeah, y'all, all you radio guys, y'all focus on the negative stuff, man. All y'all done is y'all talk about these segments that are all negative and everything like that. You do it for 3 or 4 weeks. Eventually, somebody's going to say, hey, man, well, what exactly are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
I mean, we stroked you for 2 years.
Yeah.
You didn't come in and you didn't give us any kudos.
But it's all deserved.
All deserved.
And this is too.
Yeah. But you've come in and he's poked a bear until somebody responded and then didn't like to respond.
Yeah.
That's the part to me that's like, come on, man, you're better than
that. Yeah.
I mean, you got to be better.
Yeah.
It's Reaction Monday. There's definitely some things to react to, including D'Amico Ryan.
But this just never had to be a thing.
It really and truly
did
not.
We should be talking about something else.
It didn't have to be a thing.
We should be talking about something else.
And I trust you guys will talk about all of it here as you get going. Appreciate D&M Auto Leasing.
I was the only one who picked the Texans this week.
Look at you.
On our show. And now we got it.
I think you should still do your victory lap. I think you should still get that.
Oh, if you think we're getting 3 hours in today and he ain't victory lapping, you're crazy.
That's a great point. You know what? In fact, let me give you some room to victory lap. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
Oh, y'all want to do this right? Negative stories. My man thought that was going to go to the next question, didn't he? My man grabbed that baton and said, hold up, Doc. Hold on, Doc. What you talking about? And then... the dismount. Whew. Y'all good? I don't know who that was who was ready to locked and loaded to get that next question off, but they sure got it in.
They got him out of it, didn't they?
Guys, good.
Fantastic. Wow. A lot to get to here today. The Texans do win. They win a huge game and get to 3-4. And I would say easily their best win of the season when you talk about the opponent and who was out there. It was a big time dub. Tyler's got his victory Monday shirt.
It's a victory Monday.
There you go.
Let's go.
We might have to visit that again.
I may have picked him to lose, but the Texans won. It's a victory Monday.
It is
victory Monday.
Big victory.
Victory Monday. Ooh, right
much
there.
Much needed victory.
I had to have it. Yeah.
Light headed there.
Maybe we. Hopefully everybody's in a better. Ooh. Thought everybody'd be in a better mood, but
I'm in a great mood. I just. There's nothing worse.
Guys, good.
There's nothing.
Guys, good?
No, I mean, I'm fine. I am.
What'd you say? Are you?
Are you? That's the question.
Yeah, man. No, big victory. A lot to get to. Remember, we are out early today. We're out at 5 o'clock. The Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans, who we've already heard today, but you'll hear him again. The Coach's Show coming up right behind us at 5 o'clock. So make sure you listen in for that. All right, I see a lot of people rolling in here. I do want to get started here, but I see a lot of people rolling in here talking about what did he say? What are you guys talking about? Or to a point of Clint, you do focus on the negative. Ron, you do focus on the negative. As you say, it puts food on your table.
Let me tell you what I do, Mr. Texter, whoever the hell you are. I focus on what's real. And when you're 2-4, a whole hell of a lot of it is negative. If you want somebody to stroke a 2-4 head coach and a 2-4 quarterback and a 2-4 wide receiver group and all that, then this ain't the show for you. I mean, if you want somebody to stroke the general manager every chance that they get, the head coach every chance they get, this ain't the show for you. If the general manager misses on offensive linemen in the draft and free agency and all kind, and we're rotating left guards, which nobody can answer whether it's a positive or negative, then that's what you're going to get. I mean, look, if you want a stroke job, I mean, Ron would have sold you one back in elementary or junior high, whenever it was he had the middle school. But, I mean, you just ain't – I mean, when you're 2-4, man, there's going to be a lot of negative. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Rest in peace, Dad. Still had some.
You still had some?
Yeah, I recovered some.
Some of the old tapes?
I recovered some.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, yeah, that's never been this show or been either one of us. And I don't think it should be. And I don't think we're wrong for it. And to me, as long as you're not personal, you know, I think it's good. And I think we're talking about it on the field. But I will go here because someone said, didn't Clint just prove D'Amico right by starting out focusing on the negative? And of course, you all media pansies get defensive when simultaneously saying D'Amico's being sensitive, laughing my ass off, and I mean crying. Okay, listen, I will play this. We can play this for you. You have this, Tyler. We can play this for you because this has become a story over the win. I want you all to hear this, and you all can give us your own thoughts. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in on this. When you hear this from your head coach, as he was asked a question, the question he was asked was, yes, outside noise can be a thing. How do you handle it versus both negative and positive outside noise? How do you manage both of them? This is the response that he had back and forth with the media.
Pushing away outside noise. I know that was a topic yesterday. What are the challenges, and is there a balance between like positive outside noise and negative outside noise?
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, here you can see it's a lot of negative talk about us. We get it. I hear people try to give it to me all the time. I get it, right? It's like, but it really doesn't matter, right? I talk about it. Everybody wants to write a hot story, and most of the time it's negative stuff that people want to talk about, right? Nobody wants to talk about the positive stuff that happens. And again, if you feed off of that and you're riding the pendulum of, oh, we're great because we won. No, we suck because we lost. Fight. Like, that's our business. I get it. But that's the nature of it. We keep moving forward. Really, it doesn't drive anything. It means nothing, literally nothing, to what we're about. Like, it does nothing to drive our team. We just got to go out and play good football.
You don't think you've gotten any positive stuff?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, the first
you,
two
you don't think you've gotten any praise at all?
Guys, it's what's your question?
Everybody says negative.
I said that's what people thrive on is the negative stuff. Yeah.
You don't think you've gotten any positive?
I said people thrive on the negative. You guys are good. You guys must be the ones with the negative stuff. We're playing football. You talk about outside noise. I say it again. It doesn't matter. Good, bad. It doesn't change how we prepare. It doesn't change our week of preparation. We're going to work. We're going to work our best, the game plan our best, and go out and play good football.
But for your first couple years and a half, like, you've gotten nothing but positive coverage for the majority of the time. So when you say everybody wants to focus on the negative and not write about the positive, I don't know if that's – how is that accurate when you've been here for a couple of years, you've got a lot of positive coverage?
You guys good?
All right, that was the exchange that's been talked about. Text line coming in. I love D'Amico defending his team from the media. Love it. Hate us or love us. Text line coming in also. He sounds so sensitive. I understand why CJ is sensitive. D'Amico is the greatest. You all are struggling to come up with negative attacks on management. D'Amico is 100% right in his answer. What was wrong with that? Ron, pissed he expected more from the Texans in thinking he is going to start seeing it. Now, great answer. Always answer of a real leader. Listen, as I said earlier, my deal is this has become a thing. And there was no reason it had to be a thing. That was a very easy way to answer. Clearly, he is frustrated. And listen, he's human, right? He probably is frustrated about things. To me, though, maybe we don't know about some things that are personal. Everything I've heard seems to be kind of centered around what is happening with the team and the decisions that have been made. It doesn't seem like it has been anything very personal. I know damn sure on our show, And the guys that he was talking to. But, I mean, on that part, Clint, I mean, you could hear it. I mean, that was something you don't normally hear in a back and forth, especially with D'Amico or coaches in general. Yeah,
look, let me be completely transparent. I think D'Amico's point is valid. Like, the negative or positive, it's not going to impact our team and our approach to football. And that's spot on. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is that I listen to every piece of audio that D'Amico puts out, and it has been a consistent, strong insinuation that people are writing and pursuing nothing but negative stuff. There's been a focus on people writing in particular. I don't think I've ever heard anything about necessarily saying, but writing negative stories. I think it started with the Joe Mixon injury, which he didn't like the fact that somehow leaked and got out outside of their ability. He was annoyed with C.J. Stroud's shoulder situation, and it's kind of snowballed since then. And so with that part of it said, for somebody to get to a point in the media to just say, hey, man, what are you talking about, man? Like, there was a lot of good as well, and then you don't want to talk. You don't want to have a conversation. You want to, oh, look.
Yeah, I don't think he expected it to come back. I don't think he expected it to come back.
Well, no, he didn't. But, I mean, that's the part to me that's just weak. I don't care one way or another. To me, it's just weak. It's like you've walked in and poked the bear multiple times about this, and nobody ever pushes back. And the one time that guys respectfully push back, it's like, oh, no, you don't want to talk about it. Or, oh, no, that wasn't what I meant. Hey, man, I'm just talking about my team. Don't read that. My team don't look at that. You guys okay? It's just a victim mentality instead of a, yeah, I've been bringing it up for 2 months now for a reason. Now that y'all have asked about it, let's talk about it a little bit, right? This is what I've been talking about. That's the weak part to me is that he invited it. It wasn't like this was the first time he's had a problem with the negative press. And you're 2-4. I mean, you're 2-4. You're 3-4, but you were 2-4 before all this went on, and nobody's written anything. You haven't read anything anybody's written this week.
And nobody
life
credible.
Is hard.
Nobody
life
credible
is hard
is,
when it's 2-4.
Nobody credible has written that he should be fired. Or nobody.
Not that I know. I don't read a bunch of it, but not credible. That I know.
I haven't read anything that says he should be fired. I haven't read anything that or heard anybody, especially on this station, that have said that he needs to be fired. We've talked about this 3-game stretch very important.
Yeah.
And if it goes south, it could change.
Well, that's
things,
part
but that's
of
just
football.
That's real, right?
That's part of football. Yeah. I mean that is part of. I mean, you're if you go into a season and your offensive line is the reason that you can't get over the hump and you can't meet or exceed expectations, then obviously the offensive line coach is going to be in the bullseye. The players and the offensive line and the coach are going to be in the bullseye, right? Are in the what am I looking for? The sights.
Yeah.
Right, so that's part of being a highly paid coach is when you're winning 10 games and everything's going great and everybody's stroking you, it's good. And you know what? When you're struggling a bit and there's some negative press out there, then that's part of it as well.
From the text line, I'd be frustrated too if a bunch of used to be and wanna be sit around on radio picking at everything that the man does.
Just think about that person that sits around and listens to those has-beens and wannabes pick a negative about everything they do. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it will be intriguing to see how this goes the rest of the way. Like how this goes, because I'll be honest with you, I am surprised. Now, obviously, Clint Tyler, the first 2 years, we haven't seen a lot of. Like there hasn't been any reason for a lot of negativity and I don't even say negativity, but you know, honest commentary about what is going on because the team is going south. There hasn't been a lot of that. And I am a bit surprised that, you know, DeMeco has reacted this way when it comes to this, but it'll be interesting to see how this continues. Because to me, if this is the tactic that you're going with, because many of these people right now that are texting this stuff in, that are saying, oh, yeah, he's had it and all this stuff, you'd be saying a different thing had they lost yesterday, right? And so to me is, if you are winning and if you win, hell, it doesn't matter what you say, right?
Yeah.
You can say, like yesterday, he said, many of those people who are saying those things don't know what they're talking about anyway. And right, when you win the game, that sounds good. You remember earlier in the week, though, when he said, did y'all watch the game? And do you remember the response of people? Hell yeah, we watched the game. Did you watch the game? If you win, like this approach will work. But I just, like, to me, if this is going to be his approach, then if when you lose games and you're going in this manner, the response may be different, right? Like I could see there are going to be a lot of people, you know, in the middle with this. But this is an interesting approach to go about it. Approach that I'm surprised by. I wonder if he continues this.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see. I mean, he talked about it in the post-game presser as well.
No, yeah, I know. It's 2 days in a row.
I mean, it's every time he meets the media. So for a guy, for a team that doesn't, and a coach and a quarterback and everybody that doesn't care about the negative press, they sure spend a lot of time talking about the negative
press. But as you said, Clint, anybody that's 2-4 or completely well under expectations,
yeah,
they're dealing with this.
Oh no! Oh, I mean, multiply times 10.
What do you think, John Harbaugh? He's dealing with it. He's been dealing with it, right?
They tried to fire him when he started getting blown out with no Lamar Jackson
and Raekwon Smith and Kyle Hamilton and the rest. Yeah, right? Like, I mean, they're getting it. This is not.
Look,
it's not unusual.
I don't care one way or another, to be honest with you. I just think if it's going to be brought up, I think it's weak.
It was definitely a surprise to me in which how he handled it. All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, coming up, let's look at what happened yesterday. I'm gonna pose this question to Clint and the people. We'll talk about it on the other side. What do you say to people who respond with the Texans double-digit win yesterday at home over the 49ers with the thought of, well, they were missing a lot of people. They were injured. This isn't the full 49ers team. What do you say to those excuses / explanations about the Texans getting that dub? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Got beat today. Credit to them. They kicked our ass, and we got to take it like men and come back, hopefully a little pissed off, and go to work and play better next week than we did this week.
All right, that's head coach Kyle Shanahan of the San Francisco 49ers. The student beat the teacher in this, and I mean that in the most positive way as possible, is his the mentor lost out to the mentee in this thing, but I think both of them are strong head coaches in the league. But what do you say, Clint? Because I've seen this a lot. Hell, I've even seen some 49ers people say this, but I've seen, like, yeah, they beat a depleted team. Like the Ravens. I don't think it's like the Ravens, but yes, this is a team that didn't have Fred Warner, that didn't have some guys in the secondary, no Nick Bosa, some guys up front. And they've had several guys, obviously didn't have Brock Purdy, their starting quarterback, out there, even though Mac Jones was 4-1 coming into the game on the season there. What do you say to people who downplay that victory against the 49ers because they weren't whole?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the 49ers being undermanned or shorthanded. I don't want to hear it. Like, to me, we got to all realize who the Texans are and where they're at as a team. And right now, getting on track and getting quality reps and buying into showing, one, that you have an identity and buying into that identity and gaining confidence across the board is exactly where this team needs to be. If it so happens to come against the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, who at the time are injured, then who gives a rip? Like, we're not a team that can only take into consideration what we do against, you know, the top tier teams when they're fully healthy right now. I hope that at coming into this season that we would be there out of the gate, but we're not. If you've watched the Texans this year, right, that we're not in a spot where we can only gauge who we are or what we are against the best that the league has to offer. We are a team that we're an offense in particular that needs quality reps, time on task, buying into executing what it is we are going to do one day at an elite level that will hopefully, coupled with our championship caliber defense, will allow us to beat a top tier team with everybody healthy that's playing their best ball. And that's exactly what we've got. So for me, I don't mind stating the fact that, hey, the 49ers were undermanned and shorthanded. I don't mind the statement, but to just poo-poo what happened and kind of sweep it under the rug and just move on, to me, is coming from somebody that's got unrealistic expectations for this football team. Somebody that doesn't realize kind of where we're at right now as a team, but more specifically as an offense. This is precisely what we need more of. Now, can you grow week to week and eventually do it against a better opponent or a healthier opponent? That's the key, yes. But this right here, what we saw yesterday, I would argue is precisely what this team needed in training camp. Didn't get it because they were getting absolutely railroaded every day by Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson. And when you started the season, you had some pretty good opponents that didn't want to take it easy on you either. So you have the opportunity to get time on task and see success at the end of the day, at the end of the play, at the end of the drive, at the end of the game, at the end of the day. Those have been few and far between. So yesterday was exactly what the doctor ordered for this team. And again, I don't mind stating the fact or hearing the fact, but to just sweep it all under the rug and say it doesn't matter, oh boy. I mean, that, to me, that's misguided.
No, I don't think this is anything like the Ravens situation.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think this is anything like the Ravens situation. Yes, they were undermanned, and I can understand the game maybe not have gone exactly the way it did if they had, you know, some of their pieces they expected to have. But this is also a team that dominated the Falcons last week, in which Christian McCaffrey had over 200 yards of total offense and two touchdowns, and he couldn't do nothing, you know, yesterday. This is and the Falcons had just come off of handling the Buffalo Bills, who many people thought were Super Bowl contenders, and they just absolutely shut them down. We watched what they did to the Rams, another team that people believe is a Super Bowl contender, on the road on Thursday Night Football, winning that game with Mac Jones. I don't think this is anything like the Ravens. The Texans dominated a large portion of this game, right? Like, if you really look at it, it doesn't feel like it was that as close as it was. I mean, there was one point in that first, early in the third quarter, you're looking at it, man, they got three first downs. They got under 100 yards of total offense. Like, it was a mismatch reading, and I don't care. You know, that's the same team, again, that beat the Falcons, you know, the previous week. Now, I know the Falcons just got beat down by the Dolphins, but like that's a team that's had some success and beaten some teams. They were 5-2 coming into it. So yeah, I think those are excuses, and I wouldn't take this away. This is clearly their best effort of the season. They dominated this thing offensively, defensively, all the way around.
Look, I mean, defensively, I think he had 4 3 and outs. You held Christian McCaffrey to 68 total yards. Nobody's held him under 100 yards this year. I mean, defense, nothing came easy. The only two scoring drives were tremendous, tremendous plays, balls that were squeezed into tight windows and crazy catches, that one of them was for a touchdown, one of them was down to the 2-yard line that led to a touchdown run. I mean, that's
special teams helped him. One of them was a return that got him.
So they absolutely dominated the game. And then, you know, you go to the offensive side of the football, and we talked about it. Man, CJ buying into this scheme, this death by a thousand cut scheme, and you know, working it to precision. I mean, just perfection was absolutely beautiful. Much, much needed here for the Houston Texans. That was a hell of an outing.
Yeah, and also the Texans weren't exactly full strength either, right?
Exactly.
They didn't have Nico Collins. They didn't have Christian Kirk. They didn't have you know some of their biggest offensive threat. Out there. So yeah, man, great win for the Texans, especially coming off the way they played against Seattle. I mean when you lost Tyler, well, you're in a rough spot. And they had completely lost Tyler. He's back, though. He's back. Coming up, we do it every week. C.J. Stroud's great. C.J. Stroud, 30 of 39, 318, two touchdowns, one interception. D'Amico Ryans yesterday in the postgame said it's one of his best games that he has played. We'll do that coming up. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Bunch formation right, one back Chubb. First down at the San Francisco 12. Stroud in the gun. Here's the snap. C.J. with a little time throws to the end zone. Caught, touchdown, Jaden Higgins. Houston scores.
All right, that was one of two touchdown passes from C.J. Stroud. Spread it around. What, with nine different guys caught the ball in this game against the 49ers? And to me, that Ravens performance, they put up 44 points. But when you look at the opponent and what they were dealing with, they were dealing with NFL players in this game for the most part. There are a lot of practice squad guys in the Baltimore game. It was just a different feel. And their offense, you know, wasn't giving them anything to help at all. I felt like this to me was their best offensive performance. You know, you wish they would have punched in a couple of those touchdowns early in the game. And I think D'Amico mentioned that today. But it was to me their best offensive performance. And I think it was potentially C.J. Stroud's best offensive performance. He was 30 of 39, 318, two touchdowns. He did have that one pick at the end of the half. It ran the clock out. Seven carries in this game for 30 yards. Passer rating 106.6. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch. Your thoughts, your grade for C.J. Stroud after another must-win game against the 49ers. What was your grade? We'll start with you, Clint.
I've got an A. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful to watch him work. I thought the way in which he committed to the system for four quarters and never got out of character, when the opportunities presented itself, he took the shots down the field. He hit a couple of them. But for the most part, he stayed. They never forced you out of that death by a thousand cuts. So just keep on keeping on. Stay right there. I thought he improved on last week's performance in a big way, obviously, but really getting through progressions, knowing where your checkdowns were, getting the football out quick and making sure you were committed to that and we weren't just talking about it. I thought C.J. Stroud early in the game, one thing that really impressed me, in fact, I think it's probably the most impressive, is I think early in the game on two different times, I literally saw C.J. Stroud verbally and with hand signals redirecting the protection up front, which we haven't seen a whole lot of. And so it was good to see him be real animated in that instance. It means he's getting comfortable with what the hell's going on. I think he picked up – I know he picked, on one of them he picked up a third and four. He redirected the protection and then threw a ball, so a strike to, I believe it was Jalen Noel. So I thought that part was really, really, really impressive. But he handled it. He handled it extremely, extremely well. So I give him an A. The only reason that it's not an A plus, the only reasons, there's a handful of them, right? He overthrew two, maybe three balls that I expect C.J. Stroud to make in his sleep. Little out routes. I know one was to Higgins, and I know one was to Noel. I think he also had one to 19, where 19 was so high that 19 could catch it, but he had to drag. He couldn't get his second foot down. So that. And that right there really is because I know CJ is really a ball placement specialist and expects to be better. That part of it. And I think number two, the interception at the end of the first half, I think that would have been, you know, that was an opportunity for him to get into the A-plus range. If you drive down, if you make a couple of big throws there that end in a field goal attempt, even if it's a 65-yarder, at least get your team there. And then lastly but not least, I've got to save the A-plus for a game where he's got game pressure, right? There was really never any game pressure here. This was just stay in my lane and handle business. And so I, for those reasons, I can't quite go A-plus, but I can go strong, strong A for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, the pick didn't – I thought you were going to say the interception at the end of the half. Maybe.
Well, I don't necessarily care as much that was interception, but just – in that instance, in 24 seconds, if you're able to drive down and get us at least an attempt at a field goal,
yeah,
you know, that's an A-plus effort.
I think he was taking a chance. He was taking a chance on that thing, and you got to at the end.
No question. I got to save a little bit of room for an A-plus in there, and those are the reasons why.
Cornbread, CJ gets an A, and his locker room speech is A for showing he is trying to be more vocal.
Great text
line coming in, A-plus, A. Someone said A-plus, he is they needed this game and they needed him to play big, and he did. It was an A performance. And you wondered, all right, man, how is he gonna play, you know, without his big weapon, without maybe his number two weapon, guys that he trusts, guys that he may not have a ton of trust in with Higgins. And hell, Jarrett Wayne got up out there. Guy, you know, he doesn't have a lot of trust in. Yeah. The guy's done a lot of reps with. And you know, you said a word to stop using. You gotta be that fixer.
Yeah.
He was the one who said, all right, man, I'm going to make sure that these young guys are comfortable, and I'm going to put the ball where it needs to be, and I'm going to go where the open guy is, and I'm going to make everybody else feel comfortable. And I think he did a lot of that, and I think we saw that, and I'm guessing that probably went through the week and leading up to it, because everybody was ready to go with all of those young guys, from Noel to Higgins to Hutch, who had a big game. And so I give him a lot of credit for that. So I give him an A as well. He was the best player on the field yesterday. And in a game that they had to have him, those are the ones where you see him. But this is the thing, guys. We've got to get some consistency from him too, though, right? Like, and all of it is not his fault. I want you to hear that. All of it is not his fault. But Like, if you've noticed, Tyler and Clint, we do this every week. Guys, we've been in A, or F. Right? Like, there have been swing. There's not a B. There's not many Bs in there. There's not. It's A, he's great, or he's, like, there's got to be some level of consistency right there. You got to live in the middle there. Yep. And again, I want this to be, it is not all his fault, right? You know, at times it's hard to do better when you were dealing with some of the pressure. But in Seattle, man, when you look at that game, which all of a sudden basically at one point turned into a one-possession game, it was a one-possession game with an ended, Clint. If he's a C instead of the F that or D that we put, if he's a B minus, then maybe that game is like he doesn't throw that bad pick at the end. We just got to get some level of consistency in the field. It's a lot of all or nothing what has been this year with CJ, and we got to get in the middle there.
Yeah, look, you got to get when the competition, you know, stiffens, you've got to get more out of CJ Stroud. Now, what does that really mean is you got to be better up front. The play caller's got to be better. The O-line's got to be better. The wide receiver's got to separate and get you know, throws. But the more CJ Stroud trusts and commits to getting through, I've said this before, Ron, I mean, it's when CJ Stroud can come to the line of scrimmage and realize, hey, man, they're coming off my right side, and boom, 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 he can immediately adjust the protection and has the confidence to do that. That'll transition to the next game. The ability to come to the line of scrimmage and realize, like, hey, man, I got this route over here to my left, but they are clearly shading coverage that way. And when I snap the ball, the linebacker shuffles that way. I've got to get kicked back to the right side right now. I can't wait and see. No, it's over. Boom, it's over. Get to this right side. The more reps CJ can get at doing that, the better he's going to be, and the more often he's going to be able to overcome stiffer defenses bringing pressure. And so, yeah, that reps, like time on task, is what you hear come out of the building all the time. But reps in that system and getting more and more confidence is huge. And this was this past week will go a long way to giving us a chance to win more games down the stretch here.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Someone texted in, B minus. I need to see CJ against a team like Denver. Jeremy Wilson tweets that in. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? When I said a level of consistency, right? We've seen against the Ravens, who maybe had some guys out. We see against the 49ers, where the protection was great throughout the day, and obviously against the Titans for the most part. But against better opponents, better defenses, the ebbs and flows. Can he be solid in some of these games? Because his defense, their defense, solid will win against some of these teams, right? Solid would have maybe given them a chance against Seattle. Solid would have maybe given them a chance against Jacksonville, right? It just got the ebbs and flows. I believe he's got like three A's, and I think you've given him maybe three F's this year. They played seven games, right? That's somewhere we got to meet in the middle on that. All right, coming up as we continue, hey man, we want to hear from you. It is Monday. This has become a thing. Every Monday, we want to hear from the Drive family. Tyler will open up the phone line, 713-572-4610. And this is kind of where I want to kick things off with you, the people. Was Sunday's game just a good game, or was it a great sign? Was it a good game or a great sign? We'll hear from you coming up next right here live on the Drive.